Greetings from Bishop Aubrey Shines and G2G Ministries in Tampa, Florida. We pray that you would be blessed and encouraged by the biblical message you are about to hear. Today's classic sermon from Bishop Shines continues the series Fundamental Doctrines with reference scripture Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2 in the Amplified Classic and King James translations.
Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, which is dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God, with teachings about purifying, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment and punishment. Why? These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware. How long? Long, long ago. Grab someone by the hand and tell them, as a Christ follower, come on. Some of you all don't have nobody's hand. If you got to grab three hands, grab three hands. I need every hand to touch a hand. Please say with me, as Christ followers. Say, these are called basic doctrines. Tell them, I don't care how long you've been in church. If you don't know these basic doctrines, tell them you're in a good place and you're in a great timing of your life. Tell them you're about to learn the word of the Lord. Amen, as you take your seat. One of the scriptures that these type of scriptures make you very sober. There's a scripture that I used several weeks ago which simply says that all of us will stand before God and we will give an answer of our lives. That does not exempt anyone. That is inclusive of everyone. And I realize that messages like this, they tend to, in teachings like this, they really strengthen and really bring a sense of soberness in our thinking, or at least it should. And the reason I've been taking all these weeks to do it, the Lord really impressed upon my heart to do so. But there are some other factors that are involved here. Soon, some of you are going to be released to begin to lay hands, and we're going to begin to deal with a whole array of a lot of spiritual things. So many of you have gifts of prophecy in you. Others of you have the ability to interpret tongues. Some of you have the ability to speak in multiple tongues. There's a lot of scriptures, and if I don't lay these foundation, then when it's time for you to begin to move in these areas, you will, if you're not careful, you will believe your flesh more than you believe the spirit. The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit to see whether or not that spirit is of God. Well, if there is no foundation in you, then you'll be moved by more of sensationalism than you will by having a basic fundamental doctrine, foundational belief within yourself. My job is to equip you for that. Listen to me, parents. Many of you have children that are dreamers, and they dream all the time. And if you are a spiritual, or if you're a Christ follower, but you don't know how to develop those dreams in those children, you will help your children abort what God has really placed in them. My job is to try to bring out of you those gifts that are in your babies. And I'm talking, the babies can be teenagers. How many parents know no matter how old your children get, they're still your babies? Come on. And so you see it that way. Well, my desire is to make sure that you are first of all equipped, because if you don't know how to respond with a basic foundation within yourself, you'll give your children bad information. And a lot of our children are gifted in this place, and we don't even recognize it. I wish I had time to tell you about several of your children that have ministered to me. And as parents, you know nothing about it. Something they've written me or something they said. And at the time, boom, it was right on time. They're not here today, but your niece, Tasha, James' baby. What's your niece's name, sweetie? Yes, Jade. Jade gave me something not too long ago, and she didn't know it. But it was exactly what I've been praying, asking the Lord about for some clarity. And something she made for me was right on time. And she doesn't know it. I'm going to tell it when I begin to teach this. It actually brought tears to my eyes because it made me remember that God raises up our children to do mighty, mighty works. And the reason that I'm taking advantage of this hour to teach you these basic doctrines, you need to know it. Listen, it would be easy for me as a pastor. I've traveled for 20-some years. And if you don't believe it, go on the internet. You'll see your pastor had a head full of hair and no gray was in my beard. And I was about 12, 14 pounds lighter, 20 pounds. I mean, something, give or take a pound here and there. Lighter, laying hands, preaching, prophesying. There's video. I didn't put any of this out there. Various churches I've been. Some of the key players in this nation I've laid prophesy. It's out on websites, various people website. Well, the Lord have reminded me not to neglect that portion of who he is and that it is necessary that I bring it into this house. Now, for a long time, it's not that I've disobeyed God, but for a long time, it's just been my desire. I want to first see the people healthy, because if you don't know basic doctrine, ain't no point in me trying to teach you how to lay hands and interpret tongues and have a gift of the Spirit and do this, because what I'll do is I'll make you the superstar, and you'll forget he is the superstar. Which are stars in his superstar. Listen, are you following me here? So this is why I've been really taking a lot of time with this basic doctrine. And then last but not least, I'm going to get into this, the heart of this. If you don't understand these basic doctrines, church will become bored to you. Can I tell you something? And the Lord spoke to me about this several weeks ago. Listen, everyone look at Pastor real quick. Some of you all in this church, I need everyone to look. Everyone look at Pastor. Everyone look at Pastor. Everyone look at Pastor. Please, everyone look at Pastor. Some of you are dealing with the spirit of shame in your lives because you have done so much, it's hard for you to receive. When it's hard for you to receive, you'll disconnect yourself, and church won't feel the same way. There's a blockage in you because you're dealing with shame. Rebuke it. God ain't in it. If God was here to hurt you, honey, you'd be dead already. God is here to restore you and to make you whole. And God have, whether you like it or not, he have allowed some of us to go to the heights of this nation and to lay hands on those who are at the height in this nation. And if God can take a little boy that nobody knew without the right pedigree, raise me up to do this, hear the word of the Lord, and if the oil is coming from me from the Lord, are you hearing? Then that oil is going to flow from me upon you. See, if you knew the book of Exodus, you would know these things. If you understood the transferring anointing, you'd understand exactly what I'm talking about. It was the oil that was on Aaron's beard that flew then to Aaron's garments. Aaron is a type of Christ, a type of priest, leader, and the congregation was the recipient of the oil that was on him. Well, if the Lord have given me certain authority, then what I have, I also have, biblically speaking, the power to it into your life. The Bible says to lay hands. It really means to press oil into you. Even if you don't have it, I have the ability to press it into you. And if I can press it into you, then the signs and wonders and miracles and the ability to hear, you'll begin to hear things you've never heard simply because you're in the right place at the right time. Is that making sense to you? Now, if you don't believe it, I can't stay here. I got to go back to the scripture here. If you don't believe it, go study the life of Saul. Saul was not a prophet. He was a king. Yet the Bible says when Saul were around the prophets, Saul began to prophesy. And it didn't say Saul was inaccurate. Saul was accurate. How many know Saul had a lot of problems? How many know Saul didn't do the will of God? Watch this. But how many know that God did use him to prophesy? Well, where did Saul get it from? The Bible says, for he were in the company of those that had something he didn't have. When you're in the right company, you can get things that you normally would not get. I don't know if I'm going to get to the message. I'm trying to help some of you. I've been able through the years to walk into a financial success when I've been broke as broke can be. And if God have given me the ability, I can press that next step over into you. Are you hearing me? So if you're struggling financially, touch your neighbor and tell him you're in the right place at the right time. God have simply given you a shepherd. I've been there and I've done that. That's why I don't cringe when things go crazy. That's why when everybody say he's going down, I always claim I'm going up. When everyone said he ain't going to make it, not only do I make it, I exceed abundantly above all they could ever even ask or imagine negatively about me. Why? Because I know who the Lord is in this place. And it ain't me. It's the Lord, the hope of glory, the King of all kings that's doing this. Put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hey, listen, would you just touch two people real quick and tell them you really are in the right place at the right time? Tell them don't let the devil trick you out of here. Some people are being tricked. Come on over here. We're going to give you a title. You can go somewhere and get a title and still be as crazy as a Betsy Bob. Not here. I'm like Paul. Brother and sisters, I would not have you to be ignorant. I do not want you all ignorant in this place. I want to be able to shepherd an intelligent, smart, mature people that know the voice of the Lord, know how to lay hands, know how to interpret, know how to do the things that are necessary, know how to shift in and out, know how to interpret dreams, know how to force yourself over into an area of dream. What you talking about? Ain't nothing too hard for God. Well, what about when my kids are going bad? What is it going to help me? I can tell you how to walk in peace. With an understanding that thing is going to turn around. Been there, done that one too. Yeah, but I heard, I don't go by what I hear. I go by what he said. And so when you know what he said, it ain't about what you heard. It's about what is he saying. And if I can get you all to tap your ears into what he's saying. What did John say? John says, let him that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And so I'm trying to teach you. And these basic doctrines is going to give you this kind of understanding. And that's why pastor's taking so long. So y'all be patient. You're going to learn something in this thing. And if you exercise a gift, so on a high five, tell them, I don't know where we going, but tell them we're going nowhere but up. Come on. There were three seats that I gave you, and I don't have time to go through them. The three seats that I gave you in dealing with this doctrine of judgment is that everyone say with me, say, I will stand before God. Come on, I can't hear you say, I will stand before God and say, I will be judged. Now, that judgment seat is for the believer, and that judgment is for our rewards and not for any condemnation. Don't have time to teach it. The second one was dealing with the glory or the throne of glory, but that had more to do with the end times. I'll get into that. Then the third one was the judgment that every sinner is going to go through. Now, some of you all don't think you're sinners, or some of you all think you're Christ following. Let me remind you, Jesus said it. I'm only repeating it. He said, many will come to me in that day. What day, Pastor? The day of judgment. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, did I not? And they'll have this big, long bio, big, long resume of things that they've done. Here's Jesus's response. He's going to say, depart from me. I never even knew who you were. I want to make sure as your shepherd that you understand the difference in these things. So come on and go with me here, if you don't mind, in the word. I put these notes up, or they put them up for me last service, and I want to make sure you get it. So what purpose then for Christians' judgment? And again, write it down, is to measure your rewards. Now, turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, the 30th chapter. 1 Corinthians 30. And I think this is really going to help you. I'm going to give you, by the way, a few more versions of this in just a moment. But 1 Corinthians, the 30th chapter, it's already up. But I want to make sure that every one of us are going to see this. There's going to be a few other versions of scripture that I want to make sure that you have as well. 1 Corinthians 30, that is in the Amplified. There it is. 1 Corinthians 1, just testing Stacy back there just to make sure that she is on board, on train. All right, we're going to go to 30 here, and I really believe this is going to help you a ton. Now, if you look with me, if you don't mind, look at how this reads here. It says, but it is from him, everyone say Jesus, that you have your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom from God, which is He revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation previously hidden, manifesting itself or making itself clear as our righteousness, thus making us upright and putting us in right standing. Let me pause before we finish reading. Please make sure you take this note. If you have been made something, it means then by nature, you're not something. Make sure you get it. If you're made something, if someone makes something out of you, that means whatever you've been made from that individual, it was something you did not naturally possess. So if you make something something, it means that whatever that something is now, it wasn't that prior to it being made. I need you to get that concept. Let me say it again. If you have been made something, if someone makes you something, not makes you something in one regard, but if they make you out of something, if they make you better at something, it means that you were not better until they made you that. And so I want to make sure you get this concept here. So let's go a little further here, and I'm going to give you another scripture in just a moment. It says, let's go back to the top. But it is from him, everyone say Jesus, that you have your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom from God, revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation previously hidden, manifesting or making itself visible as our righteousness. In other words, it wasn't always visible. The people didn't always see it. Now they see it. And so let's go a little further here. Thus making us our righteousness, thus making us upright and putting us in right standing with God. Please make sure you write this down. You cannot put yourself in right standing with God. Christ has already put you in right standing with God. Now, again, that's predicated upon if you are in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, these words may sound good, but they're not for you. So if God have made us right, that means we were not right. If he makes us to be upright, that means by our nature, we're not upright. So anytime you've been made something, it means that you're not what you have already been made to be. Touch someone and tell them if God is making you great. Come on. Come on, look at them eyeball to eyeball. Tell them if God is making you great. Tell them it means that you're not great already. But tell them if he makes you great, you are great. All right, y'all are getting it. Y'all sound good, too. All right, let's go a little further here. Thus making us aright and putting us in right standing with God. And our consecration, which is making us pure and holy. Let's stop again. That means in that you cannot do something to be holy. If he's making you pure and holy, it has to imply you were not pure and you were not holy. So then you cannot, what you wear, become something. What you take on, put off, that's not it. I understand how this plays into it, but I'm not going there. I'm going to stay right here in this lane. Here's the deal. You cannot dress to be perfect. You cannot wear, how many come out of, I asked this in the first service. Let me just stop and pause and ask in the second. How many of you come out of an older Pentecostal church in this place? Oh, there's a whole lot of you here. Some of you come out. How many come out of Baptist churches in this place? Well, y'all don't know nothing about what I'm about to say. How many of you come out of Methodist churches in this place? Quite a few of you here. Any Lutherans and ex-Lutherans in here? Ex-Catholics in here. Quite a few ex-Catholics as well. Let me kind of give you this mix in this bowl. In a lot of our older reformations, especially Pentecostal reformations, they taught us, trained us, made us believe, at least some of us, I didn't, but a lot did. They made us believe that in order to be right with God, we had to wear or not wear something. All the Pentecostals say amen. Baptist folk, y'all don't know anything about it. But the old Pentecostals, they taught us, hear me, they taught us that we were more spiritual than our Baptist counterpart. They taught us that we were more holy than our Methodist counterpart. They taught us that we were more right than our Catholic counterpart. And the reason they taught us that, they says, because we on the outside was reflecting what was on the inside. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. See, Baptist folk don't know that song. TJ knew that song, but nobody else knew that song. So they taught us then what was on the inside came out. So if you came into one of the Pentecostal churches, you would only see women in dresses and in skirts. And they would be long dressing. Go ahead, Dr. Gans. And they would sweep. They didn't need a broom or a mop. Mm-mm. If you came, I'm serious. Everybody look at Pastor. This is true. If you came to service, even if you were visiting, and one of the mothers saw you come through the door, and if your dress was just in her mind too short, they'd walk over to you. Now, they didn't have these little pretty cloths. They had big bed quilts, big sheets. Look at Thalia. Thalia's still doing it. See, she's still in that habit. But if they came, and Elder don't mind me using his wife, if your knees were showing, they would come over. Bless you, baby. And then they would move on. See, you all are looking like, how many would have been offended at that? Because you go, why are you covering my knees up? But they believe, thank you, Sinead. Notice what she did. She got long. She done figured out. They made a woman couldn't cross her legs a certain kind of way. And she could not wear open-toe shoes. I know some of you Baptist folk going, huh? What was up with that? Because they believed that righteousness, you didn't show your body. So think about this. In their minds, there was something about your toes. I see Elder G getting excited over there. I start talking about toes. He done put his hand around his wife. Hey. Sister G turning red already. They believe that if your toes or your heels were showing, that you were exposed. I'm trying to show y'all something about this doctrine here. They believe that your righteousness was built on what you did on the outside. So if you showed a heel, or some toes, that you were causing men to lust. I'm gonna stay here. Y'all gonna get this thing. My thoughts used to always be, when I would hear it, well, like if their heels are rusty. You know, not all women. Don't say that, Pastor. Some of them need a little that sandblaster. Some don't know to put Vaseline back in and put on some socks and sleep all night to make it soft. So if they showed the heel, my mind said, what kind of man is interested in a rusty heel in the first place? I'm just talking, people. Now, see, you all laugh, but this was part of the doctrine of judgment in the churches that believe this. For you Baptist people, they didn't believe that you as a woman could wear lipstick. No, they didn't. I preached in some old, what's called primitive. How many know the primitive Baptist churches? Oh, y'all know about this here. Some of this stuff they didn't allow. Now, the Pentecostals were more, you know, on it. They didn't believe in the lipstick because they believed that women were mimicking the prostitute and the harlot in the Old Testament by the name of Jezebel. Because the Bible says that Jezebel would paint her face. So let me help some of you all that wear makeup here. If you came into I'm telling you the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I've been in churches that if you came in with makeup on your face, here comes the mothers.
me, baby. Honda, Honda, Honda. And they would take it, Mercedes. Now you need to take some of that Jezebel off of you. Now there you are, you're looking holy now. Gavin, you know what got me about this? They didn't have a lot of rules for the men. It was always predicated on what the women did. So the men, I guess, didn't have to have any control because it was the woman that got blamed. Boy, y'all been blamed for everything since Eden, have y'all? Even Adam blamed. God gave Adam the word, and when God, Adam, what happened to your boy? Oh, that woman you gave me. Every man in here say it's her fault anyway. Go ahead. Shame on you. You got to go home with that woman. She ain't gonna let you. Anyway, I ain't going there. Here's the deal. The doctrine of judgment was taught in a way that it was all outside issue. I'm not just keeping y'all here for no reason. I have a real purpose of really taking my time. I want this to really get in you. Because what you all don't realize is a lot of you still have some of those same old traditional whacked out practices, and you're living through them, but you think you're free from them. The moment you judge something that you don't understand, you're still doing the same thing. The moment you tell someone what he, she cannot do, how many will admit to this? That you are an imperfect person. Let me see your hands. I need every hand to be raised. Now, if you're imperfect, let me ask you a question. Have you ever done anything good? If you've done anything good ever, raise your hands. Come on. Oh, I trap you already. You're a trap when you raise your hands the first time. Y'all don't know me by now? Come on. So what did you just prove to yourself? That as imperfect as you are, that God still uses an imperfect vessel. So if he used you, why are you judging her? But he uses you. Oh, I ain't perfect, but wrong answer. The moment you have to put the conjunction of but in there, you're making up. You're doing some things you shouldn't be doing. Are you following me? Now, hear me. This actually gets into the doctrine of judgment. Because it's an offshoot of things that God has done on the inside of you that you are taking the credit for. So the moment you, well, let me show it to you in scripture. Let's go back to it one more time. I'm going to give you one more. We're going to get you out of here. I just want you to see this for what it is. I really, really do. Go back to 1 Corinthians one more time. Come on. 1 and 30. Amen. Are y'all following me here? But it is from him that you have your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom of God, revealed to us the knowledge of the divine plan of salvation previously hidden, manifesting itself now as our righteousness, thus making us upright and putting us in right standing with God, and our consecration, making us pure and holy, and our redemption, providing our ransom from eternal penalty. There's that word right there, judgment right there. Providing. Who provided it? He provided it. Providing our ransom from eternal penalty for sin. Will you keep that same verse of scripture if you don't mind? Turn with me, same verse of scripture. Pull up the New Living Translation if you don't mind. I wanted to show you this in the Living. I think this would help us here. Note how it puts it here. It says, for it is from God. Oh, I have a different one. I'm just going to the Living Bible. For it is from God alone that you have your life through Christ Jesus. He showed us God's plan of salvation. He was the one who made us acceptable to God. Who made us acceptable? Everyone say Jesus. Come on, I can't hear you. Say Jesus. All right, watch this. He made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy. Not your dress, not your lack of makeup, not your skirt. Nope, none of that. He made us pure and holy, and he gave himself to purchase our salvation.
All right? Go with me to the Message translation. I just want to take you through a few more here. Go to the Message translation. I want you to see it. Everything that we have. This is really powerful. The Message translation. Look at verse number 30. Everything. You have to find it between there. I'm sorry, it doesn't separate it for you. Everything that we have. Right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start comes from the long dress you wear. Everything that you have comes from where? All right, I just want to make sure you've seen that. Let me go back to the top. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by the way of Jesus Christ. Somebody put your hands together and say, I didn't do this. He did it. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. Make sure you're writing all these down as well. 2 Corinthians 5. I want to make sure that you're capturing all of this here. Look with me, if you will. I believe that's at verse 21, is it? Let me make sure. First, yeah, 2 Corinthians 5, and we're going to go to the 21st verse. I love it. I love it. Look at how it reads here. This is so powerful. For he made him to be sin. I'm sorry, I'm in the King James. You're in the Amplified. How you say... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go to the amp. You all are all there. Let's just go here. Let me start from right there. For our sake, he made what? Christ virtually to be what? Sin. Now watch this. That simply means, you want to write this down, that Christ knew no sin. So there was nothing wrong with him. And you got to make sure you get this. If you're going to understand the basic doctrine of eternal judgment, you got to understand this from God's Christ's perspective here. Note how it reads. For our sake, everyone, point your hand on your heart. No, not your neighbor's. Say, for my sake. All right, now note what he did for your sake and my sake. He says, for our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that, why did he do that? So that in and through him, we might become what? Now, stop right there. I need y'all to get this because some of y'all ain't getting this the way I can hear it in you. I want to make sure that you really get this. When you look at the word here, for Christ, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become. If you might become something, it means that you're not it. Are y'all getting that? So, okay, note how you got it then. Again, this is understanding this doctrine. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become. Watch this. Endued with, viewed as, being in, and examples of. Now, these are some verbs you got to pay a little attention to. When you're endued with something, it means that you've had something put in you. Some power that you did not have. If someone endues you with something, that means they've injected or pressed something into you that was not normally in you. Are you all following that? So watch this. So here's part of the judgment here. If you've been endued or pushed in you, and watch this because this goes further. There's a comma. If you look at the screen, there's a comma after endued with. It says viewed as being in. So watch this. No longer is it on the outside that the world judges of who you are. But now in the heaven realm, the Lord is looking at you and viewing you as something. If he views you as something, and if that something is good, it means then that you could have had nothing to do with it. So watch this. You're viewed as something. I'm going to help some of you, and it's going to blow your minds here in just a moment. Let me just finish this. You're viewed as being in, and you are examples of the righteousness of God. What we ought to be is telling you what the righteousness of God is. Make sure you pay attention to this right here, and you really need to write this out. What is the righteousness of God? Is what we ought to be, which means we are approved, we are acceptable, and we are, I'm reading the scripture, in right relationship, how? With him by his goodness. Can I show you all something spiritual? I'm going to try to demonstrate it the way I did in the first service. When you and I walk into a place, I don't care if it's your job, home, whatever it is, community, there are forces that your eyes cannot see. But there are spiritual forces looking at you. Everyone look at Pastor. You got to make sure you get it. When you and I walk into a place, no matter where that place is, there are forces that are looking at you. Your natural eyes cannot see it, but the realm of the spirit sees all things. So when you walk in, no matter what demonic strategy is being planned against your life, no matter what spirits are lurking behind something, planning to take you out. When you and I walk in, we walk in not because we're righteous by ourselves. He's made us something. So when you and I walk in, there is glory. I feel the glory in this place again as I did in the morning. There is glory that is on the inside. Even though your eyes cannot see it, the realm of demonic forces is looking at it. Would you touch two people and tell them you are more than you think you are? Come on. So when you and I walk into a place, spirits that are lurking behind stuff, they're looking because they're planning your demise. Even though your head does not see it, your eyes cannot see it, when you know who you are, you already walk in with this proclamation, even if you don't give voice to it at that moment, that God is with me and nothing that is formed against me is going to prosper. Are y'all following me? I'm going to take you on a ride here. You got to hold on. Now, just because that's on the inside, what the enemy is trying to get you to do is not go by what you know you've been made, but go by what you are looking at with your natural eyes. The natural, you walk into some place of calamity and you go, oh my God, my heart is about to drop. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. It seems like every time I go one step forward, I go another step back. What is the enemy doing? He knows that if he can get you out of your heart through your mouth to say what your eyes are looking at, you are not walking in the doctrine of judgment. You are walking as your own person. That's why when you confess what you see, you are not confessing what God has already said. I'm going to say it again. When you confess what your eye, I'm broke. He ain't ever going to change. Those kids are just driving me to hell and back. I'm so sick. I'm tired. I don't know what I'm going to do. That is not what you have been made to be on the inside. You have already been made to be accepted. You have already been viewed by the heaven as you got the goods. God have already proclaimed you are his son, his daughter. And if the enemy can make you say what God has not said, you are no longer agreeing. I'm still talking about the doctrine of judgment. You are not in agreement with the doctrine of judgment. You are in agreement with what the enemy has said about you. Then how then do you keep all this hell in your life? Can I help you? You keep it, write it down. You keep it by agreeing with your mouth what your eyes are looking at, and you keep confessing it. The Bible says, as a person thinks in their heart, so are you. She ain't ever going to be right. I'm so sick of him, I don't know what to do. I'm leaving this dumb stuff. You keep speaking death, you're going to get exactly what. Have you not read Proverbs 18 and 21? It says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you keep saying what your eyes are seeing, you're not confessing what's on the inside. What's on the inside? I'm righteous. What's on the inside? I'm already viewed by heaven as it's already working out. What's on the inside? All things work together for my good because I'm in Christ Jesus. What's on the inside? All things, as long as I'm called of the Lord, is going to turn in my behalf. What's on the inside? I am healed and I am not sick. What's on the inside? I am the head, I'm not the tail. What's on the inside? I'm going to be blessed and I'm not going to be cursed. What's on the inside? And if you say what's on the inside, all of a sudden, rebasha, on the outside, you begin to get a manifestation of what is right and not what your eyes are seeing. But so many of us speak by what we feel. That's why I'm trying to get you through this doctrine of judgment here. It's not about your feelings. It's about what is the Lord saying. No, I didn't say what you sense. Because if your spirit is not mature, you'll always sense bad, crazy, whack stuff. I'll prove it to you. Be seated. Oh, you ain't going to admit it. I'm going to make some of you liars in here, but you're going to have to repent after you lie. There are some people you just don't like. Oh, come on. I hate when y'all are liars. You know, you would really feel better if you just get, tell your neighbor, just get real with yourself at least, please. You know, when I hear people, I ain't got nothing against that person, you're a liar. Why do you think you avoid that person? You don't like them. So you avoid them. You see them. You done turn your big head around, your head almost broke off your shoulder. You see someone, I'm going to show some of you all something. I'm going to make some of you mad in here. You're going to have to love me, though. God have blessed some of you all, and you didn't know you were blessed. But because you were living on the outside instead of on the inside, you aborted your blessing. I'll prove it to you. God will put you sometimes in the craziest job. Oh, I can now y'all saying amen. And put you around some of the most defiled people to the point you almost get sick to your stomach. Watch this. Instead of you staying there, I didn't get a whole lot of amens on that. See, I told you I know where you live. And instead of you staying and changing it, you went by what you look. I'm not working up in here. Did you see how they look? I'm working around this person. He's just full of the devil. I can't work like that. My mind got to be in a place of peace. You weak thing, you. Have you ever considered that God put you in that person's life, that person could have a change of heart? And if he can't get you to get that person's change of heart, listen, how is he going to trust you with the next level of blessing? Because when you start getting around billionaires or millionaires, it'll turn you out. If you can't handle a few thousand dollars, how are you going to handle a million? Some of y'all want to say amen, but I done stepped on your toes and y'all don't want to. Listen, you know, if you can't say amen, just say ouch. Some people have lost their blessing because they could. I normally don't get into this. I'm going to say this. I'm going to end here. When I was in corporate America, one of my jobs, there was a couple guys didn't like me. And I knew they didn't like me. It didn't take a while. I didn't need a discernment for it. They were very clear. They said it. I don't know how much clear you get that. I never went out with them. I didn't know them like that. But they worked a later shift. One of them did. And in that shift, when you worked in the command center, you had to get what's called turnover in the morning. Well, I was first shift guy. I worked the next 12, 13 hours person. And so the person in the night before, she had to give a complete description of everything, every problem, everything that had happened at night, because your centers are connected globally, India, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a job that would make your hair turn gray like immediately. A lot of pressure in it because you're dealing with multiple systems. And if those systems crash, regions would crash and millions of dollars literally in minutes could be lost because systems are not up and that sort of thing. And every morning I would come in, I would speak every morning. By the way, at that point, I'm a ruling elder in the church. I've helped a friend of mine. He done started a church and I'm one of the two ruling elders there. I'm a man of faith and power. And I'd go in and this guy just wouldn't speak. So what did I do? Every morning I spoke because I wasn't going by what he was doing. See, some of y'all missed it right there. See, it wasn't what he was doing against me that mattered. It's how I responded to him. And so every morning I would go and I would speak. I say, hey, and I'm not going to say his name. I would say, hey, how are you guys doing? And no kidding, God be my witness, we had these swivel chairs in there and all these computer screens everywhere. And when the door opened, we had to go through a security key piece and you could hear the door click. And when it would click, by habit, you turn around in the chair. When they would see it's me, they turn the chair back around. And so every morning, I speak, hey, guys, how you doing? They never said, good, fine, well. They just turned the chair. I said, all right, so what's the turnover? Next thing I hear, I can't do it with my tablet. It had we had to keep a physical list. They just throw it, boom, and it hit the table. Now, see, some of y'all would have lost it right there. I can see some of you now. Next time you throw something at me. I'm in corporate America. I can see some of you now. Throw it again. I can hear some of you now. I'm going to lose my religion up in here, up in here. Some of y'all would have lost it. For months. I didn't say for weeks. I didn't say for days. For months, this is what I endured. And every time it happened, I can't explain this. I get excited. Oh, sookie, sookie now. I'd walk in understanding the same doctrine. And every morning I'd confess, bless the name of the Lord. When I was putting my electric key on the door, bless the Lord. By the time I walk in here, I'm shifting this atmosphere. I have the victory in me and God. And this was my confession. And my response on the outside was, boom, turn chairs around. One day, I guess the demons begin to wear down. One of the spokesperson, he turned around. I'm not kidding. I mean, it had to be almost a whole year, but I'll say 7 months just to be somewhat accurate here. He turned around. He said, Aubrey, let me ask you a question. And he used some profanity to express his opinion. He says, what in the world? He used the word hell. I know y'all never heard it. Come on, LaWanda, you never said it. Yesterday. Here's the deal. What in the world? Why is it you've not understood, Aubrey, that we're not interested in speaking and we're not interested in doing such and such? Why is it you keep speaking? What are you, stupid? See, some of y'all just lost it again. Well, I got some rough folk over here, don't I? Somebody start, what you say? Some of y'all would have had to have 911 come to get you. I wasn't doing it, Nico. I wasn't it. He said to me, he said, why is it that, and he went down on this, man, what the heck? You know, we do this and you come in here, we turn our chairs, you can't see? I said, hey, man, dude, that was my language. I said, hey, you know what? Man, I serve the Lord. And I pray for you guys because I really believe that you all have a real purpose in Jesus. And I also know that if you don't serve that purpose, when you die, it's not going to be pretty for you guys. So I don't choose to do what you're doing to me. Hey, man, I love both of you guys. And if you choose to never speak to me, guess what? I'm going to be speaking to you every day, so might as well get used to it. Somebody said I'd have choked him out first. Somebody said he'd have gotten tapped out before I did it. Can I tell you what came after that? The ringleader of it ended up becoming a friend to me. Oh, it gets deeper. See, I'm talking the doctrine of judgment here. See, when you know who you are on the inside, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside. I end up also at some point selling him one of the little raggedy cars I had. He not only bought the car, I met his dad. Dad took me out for a steak, and I learned where he learned his behavior from because his dad had some issues for various reasons in their lives. And not only did he take me out for a steak and buy the little raggedy car of mine, I began to share Jesus with him every morning. Not only did I share Jesus, I got him in an Assemblies of God church in the area in which he lived. And to this day, he's still in church. He still serves the Lord. And it's not because I'm righteous.
is because I chose to take a position that my flesh did not want to take. My flesh wanted to murder him. I confess, I would be a liar if I didn't tell you this part. My flesh wanted to slam him. My flesh wanted to pick him up. And when he hit the floor for the fifth time, shaking in convulsions, I would have gotten some sort of joy out the moment. I wanted to kick him in his temple. I wanted to bite him. I wanted to do anything that I could to get his attention. The difference is I don't live on the outside. I know who I am on the inside, and me understanding the doctrine, guess what? I got promoted. You ready for this? And I became the supervisor over the both of them. They were there 2 years before, but I began to reign supreme, and so it was my turn to give them the same thing they threw down. I would hand it to them. See, when you know who you are and you understand this doctrine, it changes the way you treat someone. Would you touch two people and tell them, I got to change the way I've been treating you? Go ahead. Would you stand to your feet? I got to get out of here. You all have heard me say this before. Only do what you do for Christ. Let me say it again. Only what you do for Christ. One more time, only what you do for Christ. This is why, people of God, I'm taking time to teach you all this. You need to understand that these basic, simple doctrines, they're part of your foundation. And if you don't learn these principles, you're never going to grow. This is why, to this day, I hate certain things. One of the things I hate more than anything is ignorance. I love when Paul wrote, I would not have you ignorant. He wrote it several times, brethren or sisters, people of God, I would not have you be ignorant concerning, and he would list what those concerns were. My desire as a shepherd is to train you. That way you can train your daughters and your sons. I didn't say they weren't going to go astray. I didn't say they weren't going to mess up along the way. Put it in them. Oh, they'll come back to it. The ways of the Lord always come back. You can't destroy God's way. You can ignore it. You can shun it. You can turn your head. But you know what? You can make your bed in hell. He'll be there too. Yeah. You can fly to the uttermost parts of the heaven. He's there. See, and when you understand these principles, it changes how you view life. My desire is to be able to bring the greatness out of you, that you can see who you are. You know, I said this before. When the oil is upon a leader, go back and read the book of Exodus. Don't just take my word for it. The Bible says, I said it earlier, let me say it again. The Bible says that the oil flowed from Aaron's beard in the book of Exodus upon Aaron's garments. The beard of Aaron, Aaron's head represented the Christ or the priest or the preacher. And whatever oil was poured upon him, it fell upon his garments. The garments represented those who were connected, those who were serving. The oil that God have placed on me have taken me from a place of reject to laying hands on presidents of the United States of America, upon governors, upon entertainers. What am I saying? The same oil that I have the ability to press it into your life. The reason I don't get into a lot of spiritual deep things in this regard, because I've never really taken the time to do what I'm doing now for 40-some weeks, lay a deep foundation in you. That way you won't base your life on the supernatural. Someone say, but I want to know more about the supernatural. Begin to win people to Jesus first. Before you want to cast out devils, come on, I can't hear you. Well, I want to speak in tongues and interpret. That's purity. That's nice. Ain't nothing wrong with it. As a matter of fact, Paul said, you want to desire anything? He said, desire to prophesy. I mean, I know it by the grace of God. God has put a grace on my life, gifts on my life. I get it. But I also have seen the horrible part of this thing. And because I have, my desire is to make sure that you're trained in basic doctrine. See, every time you change a person, you change three generations. Moms, dads, listen to me. Uncles, aunties, listen to me. When you train someone younger, you're not just training him or her. You're going to impact three generations according to the scripture. We want to be generational changers.
I don't want you just laying hands and interpreting tongues and having supernatural faith. You're going to do those things are going to happen to you as sure as you're standing there. They're going to happen. God's going to manifest. He's going to bring it to pass. Some of you are going to see things you've never seen before, especially this coming up here. I can see it. I've been doing this for a minute. But if I don't lay a foundation in you, then you'll build yourself up on you, your gift, how God did this for you. And you'll draw people to you instead of pointing them back to Jesus. Our job is to point people to Jesus. How many know I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, what? The solid rock we stand. All other ground, sinking sand. This is my desire for you. So while your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, if you really mean it, repeat this with me. Father, forgive me of all my sin, every transgression. Say, I believe over 2,000 years ago, Jesus, you died. 3 days later, you were resurrected. I believe one day you're coming again. I also believe that if I follow you all the days of my life, you will bless me. You will bless my children. You will bless my offspring. You will bless those who I bless. Thank you for these gifts, for these talents. More importantly, for your word. Let your word ring through me. Let your power be demonstrated in me. And I'll take no credit, but I'll give your name all honor, all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap.
We hope this message has been a blessing in your life. To hear more inspiring, transformative messages, visit glorytoglory.org and make sure you follow and like us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.